So today we're talking about a very important word that describes God's grace. And it is very easy to get this word confused or screwed up, okay, if I can say that in church. And this is the word, it's the word acceptance. And by God's grace, you can know the truth of this word, okay? And I want us to find out what the Bible says today about acceptance. How can we find acceptance with God the Father? When you think of God and you think of a relationship with God, if you do not know this word by His grace, you do not know this word is true for your relationship with God, you will always have a misconception of a relationship with God. You will always wonder, am I accepted? You'll always strive. I got to do more. I got to do what God wants me to do. I somehow have to measure up. And this word is kind of, for some Christ followers even, this word is an elusive, confusing, mystical word out there that they do not embrace and say, yes, by God's grace, I am accepted by God the Father. And I want that to be true for you today. So please turn in your Bibles to Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. This will become kind of the foundational passage we'll look at today. Romans 5. Remember Paul, the author of Romans through the Holy Spirit. What a mess up he was. He did so many wrong things. Please stand with me as we hear the word of God today. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, that's Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Father in heaven, thank you for this truth, this promise, that you have the ability by your grace towards sinners to bring us into a relationship that's unbelievable, overwhelming. Lord God, may we see the power of your grace in our lives today through this word. If there's someone in this room that has never felt accepted by you, they've never felt they've been good enough, they never felt that they could do the right things enough, and they're wondering even today, may they, by your grace, find that place of acceptance. Lord, may this hour not be about us. Lord God, please use your servant. Help me to say the right words. For your Holy Spirit has great power, and your word has great power. May we know the power of your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. A friend of ours wrote me a note and quoted a part of Chip Ingram's book, which really speaks to what we're talking about today. And Chip Ingram, a pastor, made this observation, quote, "We are all desperately insecure and looking for acceptance." Now, maybe you're not willing to embrace that statement today. Maybe you've kind of covered it up and you're thinking, man, I'm okay. I don't know what the problem is with other people. But I believe that statement has a lot of truth today. Even if you've covered it up and you're not willing to say it out loud, I believe there's something in all of us that says, man, I want security. I want security with God and security with relationships. And I would love to have acceptance. And I believe most of us, if not all of us, would admit if we really dug deep into our hearts, that is kind of a missing link for our relationships. We're not sure that we're measuring up. Last year, we talked about living right side up in an upside down world. And let's just look at this word acceptance from an upside down world's definition. And we talked last Sunday about cheap grace, and cheap grace has the idea of you should just be okay with me, whatever I do, whatever I say, it doesn't really matter. And when you look at the word acceptance from a cheap grace viewpoint, this is what you'll say. You must agree with me for me to feel accepted. You must welcome my attitude and my choices or my beliefs as equally true, and then I'll be accepted. That's called cheap grace. That's not biblical, by the way. We're not talking about everybody's okay. It doesn't really matter what you do or what you say or what you believe. I should just accept you and we're all okay. That's cheap grace. That's not biblical. Another definition you might hear from the world is called conditional grace. And this statement goes like this. I will feel accepted when I measure up. And maybe you have seen the fallacy of cheap grace, but maybe you have bought into the lie that somehow in order to be accepted by God or accepted by the body of Christ, you have to measure up. And if you don't measure up, you will not be accepted. Let me give you the biblical definition of acceptance. Here it goes. In Christ, by His grace, God sees me as forgiven, covered in the righteousness of Christ, and fully and for all eternity loved and valued by Him. It means that when God sees me through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His grace, that God delights in you. He delights in me. He is pleased with His children. Do you understand that through Christ and by His grace, you can find acceptance with God? Is there an amen somewhere here? Now, I believe that we're all bent toward wanting this desperately. David prays this prayer in Psalms 19:14, and it's an outstanding prayer. It shows the desire of his heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I think that David was saying, man, I long for that acceptance. I long for that place where my words and my life could somehow measure up to what God would want for me. And that's not a bad prayer, but I want you to know that biblical acceptance goes much deeper by God's grace. It goes to a place of a miracle that God wants to do in your life and in my life. Now, when we receive God's grace through His Son, Jesus Christ, this is what happens. Number one, biblical acceptance. This is the miracle. First of all, there is a miracle of peace with God. Romans 5:1, we read it this morning. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that word peace is very important. There is a problem we have with God. There is a relationship that's been broken. And God says that when you put your faith in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to justify you. That's a theological word. It means to be declared righteous. So there is a judicial decision by the judge of the universe that says you have messed up. But if you put your faith in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of being in hostility with me, instead of having a broken relationship with me, I'm going to give you a miracle of declaration. We are now at peace together through Jesus. Now, I want you to know that the verb here in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God, is a present tense action verb, which means that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are entering a continuous relationship with God the Father that's described biblically peace. Now, he's not talking about a feeling. I have to admit, there's not always a peaceful feeling in my heart. Sometimes anxiety kind of creeps up and stress creeps up, and maybe the circumstances of life gets a little bit agitated. He's not saying you will always be peaceful. He's not saying based on circumstances that you will have a peaceful place everywhere you go. I mean, right now I could have you close your eyes and think of a peaceful place. And you might close your eyes and think, beach on Hawaii sounds pretty good, you know. So each of us have a peaceful place that we could kind of go to in our head. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is a permanent and irrevocable reconciliation with God. God is willing to do a miracle of restoration in our heart. The Bible says, Colossians 1:20, making peace by the blood of his cross. Sometimes when people are dying, they'll have a friend or loved one ask them this question. Have you made peace with God? Because they know they're about ready to see God. And are you ready to see him? Are you ready to have a relationship with God forever and ever? And so it's interesting that we all know that there's something wrong in our relationship with God. We're all sinners, the Bible says. And what sin does is it causes a problem between me and my Creator. It causes an alienation from God. So God created us to be in oneness with Him, and sin has caused us to be separate from Him. It brings us judgment from God. The Bible is very clear that the wages of sin is death. Our sin causes wrath from God. The Bible says that His wrath goes toward the unrighteousness of mankind. And so God sees sin, and it upsets Him. It's something that He cannot tolerate. We look at our sin and we know that we have an accountability from God. If somebody was honest with you in a conversation, they would know they're going to have to give an account to God someday for their sin and for their choices. We know the Bible tells us that sin causes separation from God. Sin causes the inability to please God. You can try your best to measure up to God, but you will not be able to, because sin will cause an inability for you to do what God wants you to do. You can look at Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, man, I'm trying to do the right thing, but I keep failing. Maybe you have felt that. The Bible also says that sin causes us to be enemies with God. Romans 5:10. So here we have this problem with God. Sin has separated us from God. We know we've been created to have a relationship with God, but sin is keeping us from that relationship with God. How in the world can we get this right? And God says, you can't do it, but I can. And you can have peace, a judicial restoration and reconciliation between your Creator and your heart and your soul. Now watch this, verse 2 of Romans 5. Look at what happens. Into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, when you get things right with God, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and by His grace, now you can stand. Every Christ follower can stand before a holy God. Amazing miracle. Not by our own efforts. We stand in His grace. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, the word glory of God has the idea of the full display of God's character, His full display of His attributes. When we go into the presence of God, we go into the presence of heaven, and we're surrounded by the glory of God. We are overwhelmed with His perfections. We're overwhelmed with His manifestation of His presence and all that He is. And we as sinners, there is no way we can stand there in our own efforts. But in the grace of God, we stand in His grace, and we rejoice. Can you see that? We're rejoicing not because of our ability, but because of His grace. And we have this amazing miracle of peace with God. Now, I believe that the peace with God produces the peace of God. So there is a consequence or a fruit of the peace with God where we can live in God's peace every day. I also believe that not only one day can we stand before God's throne in His grace, I believe that a Christ follower should every day now stand in the grace of God. That should be the foundation of who we are. That should be the foundation of how we live, is in His grace. Jude 24 says this, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy." Did you notice that? We're going to be in the presence of God's glory, and we're going to have joy because of His work in us and through us. Now, I believe that in my sin, I am far from God. But because of His grace, there's an amazing miracle that happens. We can stand with Him. We can stand before Him, we can stand for Him, and we can stand forgiven by Him. Max Lucado gives this amazing quote, "Grace brings confidence to the soul." So you just describe any kind of religion, any kind of figuring out of how you're going to manage this relationship with God, and not one system of religion can give you a confidence in your soul because it's built on your effort. The only the only one that is built on God's grace is Christianity. And it brings us to a place where I can face the Holy of Holies, God himself, the throne of God. And because I'm coming in the grace of God, there is confidence in my soul. Now, the second thing, not only do we have this amazing supernatural peace with God, a reconciliation with God by his grace, we also have acceptance because of position. We have acceptance with God, not just because of the peace with God, but now this word position. A position as a child of God the Father. John 1:12. To all who did receive him, that's Jesus Christ, who believed in his name. Now, in order to be a Christ follower, you're going to have to understand who Jesus Christ is. You're going to have to understand that he's the Son of the living God, 100% God. He came to this earth. He took upon himself humanity. He walked among us, perfect life. He gave himself an offering for sin on the cross. He took my place. He took your place as a substitute for your sin, for what you deserved. And on the third day, he rose again. And the Bible says, to all that receive him. Now, the word receive means to take hold of. It means to obtain. It means to grasp. Now, my wife and I, we like to go window shopping. That means that we look, but we don't buy. That's my definition. But there is another definition of shopping, and that is we're looking to see what we're going to buy. And so now the real key is when you see somebody coming out of the store with a bag. That means that they purchased. Okay. Now, the Bible here says to receive, which means I've got to make a decision. When I hear the claims of Jesus, when I hear the offer of Jesus, when I hear the decision for him to come to this earth, to become a savior, to become a rescuer, to give his life for me, I have a decision. Will I take hold of that? Will I take hold of him? Will I grasp onto? Will I receive him? Will I believe in his promises on my behalf, his work on my behalf? And if you do that, he gives you the right to become a child of God. And I love that because the word right there has a lot of legality to it. It has a lot of authority to it. It means authority. It means ability. It means power. It means I belong. You cannot kick me out. I am part of the family of God. There is a security. You've been born again through Jesus and you've been brought into his family. Galatians 3:26 says, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. So if you are a Christ follower here this morning, you place your faith in Jesus Christ. You have now come into the family of God through faith in Christ, through his grace. And now you belong. You belong. And my wife and I, we went on a mission trip to southern Spain and handing out some Jesus videos. And some of you knew that she got her passport stolen. If you are ever traveling overseas, this is the worst nightmare you could possibly imagine. Your passport is stolen. You're standing there, American citizen, have all the rights and privileges of American citizen, but you have no verification. You have no documentation. You have no authority. You can say I'm an American citizen, but without the documents, you got nothing. Okay. So we have to find the documents. So we have to go up to Madrid. Problem was the nearest airport was Gibraltar. It's a foreign country. They wouldn't let us in Gibraltar without a passport. They wouldn't let us on a plane without a passport. So we got to find another way to get to Madrid. So we get in an all-night train, a 10-hour train ride, get up to Madrid. If you ever walked into an embassy place, it's really intimidating. You don't have a passport. You need help. And there's long, long lines. Some of you have had some issues. Maybe you're from another country. You know how hard it is to get the right documents. Some of you have waited months. Some of you have waited years. Some you see the long lines. You go into this building, long lines, lots of crowd, lots of people. They're waiting. They're trying to get important documents. They have to take forever. You know what it's like, maybe. So we walk in and we're overwhelmed. And then we see this little sign off the side. And my wife had in her possession her birth certificate or a copy of her birth certificate, a copy of her passport and some other documents that verified who she was. And it said this little sign, if you have the following documents, get in this line. And we had those documents. We walked up. And by the way, I don't think there was anybody in line there. Walked right past all the crowds, walked all past all these long lines. Walked up, handed the documents to this nice person on behind the counter, and within minutes, we were out with a brand new passport. Oh my goodness, the freedom that you have when you have the right documents. I want to tell you, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ by His grace, there is a supernatural freedom you have because you have what it takes to declare to all of heaven and earth, I am a child of God by the promise of God Himself. And through Christ, you are a child of God. In Christ Jesus, you are sons of God. Now, that is an amazing statement of acceptance. Number three, through Jesus Christ and His grace, you have privilege. You have privilege with God the Father to come to Him at any time. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Draw near to the throne of grace. Now, you have an opportunity to go to the throne. This is a holy place, the holy of holies of the universe, God Himself. And His throne is called the throne of grace. Now, my wife, Anita, grew up as an MK missionary kid in Tangier, Morocco. And so she had to go to a national school. They spoke French there. Morocco used to be a French colony, and that was the national language. So she goes to this French school, and she happens to make friends with one of the girls. And so the little girl said, let's come over to my house and play. I don't know how old Anita was, but she said, yes, let's do it. And so she went over to this house and was playing with this little girl. Well, by the way, the girl was the daughter of the governor of Tangier and that whole district. So they're running through the house and playing hide and seek. What an awesome game. And they're going through doors and closets and having a great time in the palace of the governor of Morocco. And so Anita has this memory. She bursts through some closed doors. There were some people sitting at the table, but she's trying to find the best hiding place ever. You know, she bursts through these doors and she's going to find this hiding place. But there was a little bit of a disruption with Anita flying through the door because the governor of Tangier, Morocco, was having lunch with the king of Morocco. And here's Anita flying through there looking for the best hiding place for hide and seek. And there was a little bit of disruption, but there was a freedom to roam in that palace because she was friends of the daughter of the governor and royalty was there. And it was okay. You see, acceptance says you can come over anytime. Acceptance says you're part of the family. Acceptance says you belong here. Ephesians 2:8, listen to the word of God. For through Him, that's Jesus Christ, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Through Christ, doesn't matter our background. Nationality is the kind of the context of that verse, Jews or Gentiles. If you put your faith in Christ through the Holy Spirit, you have access to the Heavenly Father. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. Hebrews 10:19, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. So when you put your faith in Christ and what He did for you on the cross, now the doors of heaven are opening, not just the doors of heaven, but the presence of God Himself, and you have open access, not hope so, not I think I did enough, but because of the grace of God, you come to the throne of grace. And by the way, if you come to the throne of grace on your own merit, there is not an open door. You come to the throne of grace because you realize that your relationship with God is built on grace. And when you come to the throne of grace, you come because you want to receive mercy and find grace in time of need. You know that the entire relationship you have with God is grace. You know everything you're going to do for God is grace. You know everything that you can do for God is grace. You know your need and your imperfection is grace. And so when you come to God, you are surrounded by His grace. It, by the way, is the atmosphere of heaven. And literally, when it says here to help in time of need, it means in the nick of time. If you have tried to build a relationship with God based on your own effort, I want to tell you, you will never find that relationship with God. But if you come to God through His grace, you will find the Heavenly Father opening His arms to you. You see, God the Father, according to Matthew 6:32, says this, your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. That God the Father has a relationship with His children in such a way that He knows you. He knows your needs before you even ask them, before you even know your needs are. Matthew 6:8 says your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Matthew 7:11 says, "How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" You see, sometimes we get a messed up idea of God that maybe he's putting up with us and maybe somehow he doesn't really like us, but he's got to deal with us. I want to tell you, through God's grace, he is not frustrated with my requests or your requests. He is not impatient with my coming to him again and again and again and again. He is not too busy or too distracted. He is not waiting for me to be good enough. God's grace says, "I want you to come to me, and I fully accept you as my child, and I love you. I am your father, and you are my child, and I love you, and I accept you through grace in Jesus Christ, my son." When you read The Case for Grace by Lee Strobel with your life group, you're going to discover something that he points out, and that the number one common thread of atheism is a bad relationship with their dad. You can study the life biographies of many of the famous atheists in our world, and each of them have a common characteristic in their family background. H.G. Wells, Voltaire, Bertrand Russell, Josh McDowell before he became a Christian, Lee Strobel before he became a Christian, all were atheists, and they had one common thread. Their relationship with their dad was broken. And I don't know the explanation psychologically or spiritually, but when the dad that raised them does not love them and value them, they struggle with believing that there's a God out there that could love them and value them. And when I'm taking care of my lawn, and I love to work on my grass, one of the problems of this time of year is called crabgrass. There's just weeds that are growing, and they just like this time of year. And pretty soon, if you don't look twice at your grass, pretty soon you're going to have a grass full of weeds. What I have found in the Christian life is what I'll call law creep, okay? Law creep, something gets into my heart and my mind that goes like this. If I'm good enough, somehow, if I do enough, that God will answer my prayers. We know the Bible teaches about grace, but somehow this idea that I have to measure up gets into my prayer life. And that is not from God. God wants us to know that we come to him by his grace. Lee Strobel in his book said he never felt good enough. He never felt like he measured up to his dad's expectation. And so he spent his whole life, until he came to know Christ, his whole life trying to be good enough to find acceptance with his dad. I want to tell you, the Bible says that through his grace, God the Father accepts us and gives us the privilege of coming to him at any time. Not reluctance, but a privilege and a boldness to come to him. Number four, which you also find with God's grace and this word acceptance, is a place of blessing. Blessing and honor from God the Father. Now, I'm going to share with you some scriptures that maybe you've never fully grabbed onto, but listen closely. Matthew 10:31. "Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Did you know you are of high value to God? Did you hear that? The world can put you down. Your family can put you down. You can put yourself down by your own attitude and choices. But when God sees you, he sees someone who is highly valuable. Now, the word sparrows there, the smallest of birds is really what it's talking about. And if you go to a marketplace in Jerusalem, it would be of the least consequence. OK, the smallest purchase you could possibly make in the marketplace would be for a sparrow. You could get two sparrows for a penny, in Jewish terms, basically the smallest coin that's out there. It could be the smallest sacrifice that you would give. So when he says you are of more, that God cares for the sparrows and that you are of more value than the sparrows, I mean, he is taking way down to the bottom level of the animal world, the bottom of the food chain, so to speak. And he's saying, I care about those sparrows, and you are more valuable than them, obvious. Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns." Now, what is that about? You see, if you have a definition of a relationship with God about measuring up, about earning, about being good enough, about doing enough, look at the birds. They don't do anything. You know, they're just there. They don't have to plow. Their worms are there. Their food is there. They don't earn a thing, but the Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You see, if you've defined your relationship with God about measuring up, you are missing the promise of God by His grace. Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Now, this is the phrase you maybe have never grabbed onto before. When Jesus ushers us into his kingdom, this is how he describes us. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. I want you to know that phrase is an amazing description of acceptance. Lee Strobel never heard any words of affirmation from his dad. Come, Jesus says, you who are blessed by my Father. Okay. God the Father sees you and he blesses you. He's not reluctant to bring you into heaven. He's not, oh, I guess you saved him. Bring him on in. You know, he's saying, yes, you are blessed by my Father. Ephesians 1:3 says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Who has blessed us? According to Ephesians 1:3, who? God the Father. He has blessed us through his Son, Jesus Christ, to inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So before you even had a chance to earn your way, he's already given you a gift. Isn't this amazing grace of God? Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Did you hear that? It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, some people have mistakenly described the Bible in this way. You have God the Father, who is an angry old man and he's mad at everybody. And then you have his son, Jesus, who came to the rescue and died on the cross. And because of Jesus, now we can have a relationship with God. And somehow Jesus has calmed the dad down. You know, don't get so mad at them. I died for them and I forgave them. And then the dad up in heaven goes, OK, bring them on in. I don't really like them, but bring them on in. And some people have that idea of God and it is not found in the Bible. Okay, the statement from the Bible is that God loves us. The Father in heaven loves us and he wants to honor us. He wants to value us. He wants to bless us. And the Son takes care of the obstacle between us and God, which is called sin. And now we can have this amazing place of blessing with God the Father. Now, John 12:26 says, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. This is not that we have to earn his honor, but when we decide to surrender to Jesus, the Father honors us. It is a gift that is granted to Christ's followers who humbly follow and serve Jesus. I'm going to tell you, there is no greater honor than to be honored by God the Father. Okay. I mean, you can have some honors on this earth. I mean, you know, the Olympics, you know, there was a guy named Michael that had a few gold medals. And good job, Michael. Good job. But that doesn't measure even close to the honor you will receive, that you do receive from God the Father. He exalted his son to the right hand, Philippians 2:10. He exalts the humble in James. You humble yourself before God, he will lift you up. He exalts the humble servant of Jesus to glory. Ken Griffey Jr., amazing career, honored Hall of Fame, Ken Griffey Day. Doesn't matter, measure up to the honor you receive as a child of God in glory in heaven. God sees his children and he honors us, okay, by his grace, not because we deserved it. A place of blessing and honor from God the Father. Let me share one last thing, which is very important that you know. Number five, there's acceptance because of his perfect love. Perfect love. We sang about how much he loves us this morning. 1 John 2:5 says, whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know we are in him. Now, to keep his word does not mean that you have to be perfect in order to be loved by God. What it does mean is that the word of God that says you come as you are to Jesus and he forgives you and he comes into your life and he empowers you. And by his grace, he will help you. When you do what he tells you to do, which is to humble yourself before him, the love of God is perfected. The love of God is perfected, fully experienced, fully known, full maturity. By this, we know we are in him. Relationship with Jesus is solid because of his grace. His perfect love comes into our lives. John 16:27. Listen, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. God loves you. The Father himself loves you with a perfect love. Let me just close with a story about 7-year-old Chloe Smith. She was taking a walk with her dad recently, and, you know, all the garbage was out for the garbage collection, and she saw something shiny in one of the cans, and so she decided to explore, and you know how kids are, they're going to kind of plow into that trash before the dad could stop her, and finally she sees something that's kind of shiny, she'd like it, she pulls it out, it's a gold medal from the Olympics in the trash can. And with some research, she discovered that back in 1992, there was a man who won the canoe double slalom at the Barcelona Olympics, and his gold medal was stolen. It was in the back of his car when his car was stolen, and he had lost track of it for years. She did some research, and she was able to find the rightful owner. And what an amazing moment of joy. Now, I want to tell you, when God sees this world, yes, there is a lot of trash, and there is a lot of sin, and there's a lot of filth. There's a lot of wrong choices. I want to tell you, but when God sees you, he sees something precious. In the midst of the trash, he sees something precious. And he loves you very much. And I want you to know, by God's grace, and it's the only way you will ever know this, by God's grace, through his Son, Jesus Christ, you can find acceptance. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for the miracle in your word, where you can do what we cannot do. Lord, if there's someone in this room that has never found acceptance with you, they have tried to be good enough all their life, and that this is the moment that they have learned that they call out to Jesus and acceptance from God comes. Lord, I pray in this moment they would believe and receive you. I pray, Lord, for the Christ followers in this room, that where we have believed the lies, where we've gotten caught up with the idea that we had to somehow measure up to get your favor, to get you to answer prayer. Lord God, we confess those sins, those lies that we have believed. And Lord God, we thank you and we stand in the grace of God. In Jesus' name, I pray.